2 Corinthians chapter 5. The best workers come out of small churches. Big churches get their best workers out of small churches. That is a proven fact. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I say that because these children, we pray for them. We pray God will minister to them. I want to minister on the love of God, on us loving God, and God loving us. Both are needed. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. We know the verse that follows that in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The love that he spoke of, we just read, that constrains us. It's a love that pulls us. I purchased an iPad used on the internet about 3 years ago. And I've had it about a couple of years, but it was a few months ago. I noticed a icon, and I had this thing for a couple of years, and I punched on that icon. Yes. And it started to change, and I see a little microphone, and it said, "Speak." I thought, "Well, you think I'm a dog?" And it said, "Speak." So I said, "What?" And it spelled "what." And then I realized that it has this ability to record what you say. I went to my wife. I said, "Honey, I've had this thing all this time, and I didn't know it'd do this. Watch this. It knows how to spell better than I do." And then a few times, more than once, it'll say, "Didn't get that." My wife asked me to, we had lost something, and I don't remember what it was, but she said, "Well, maybe you should look out in the car." Now, we've had this Kia since it was brand new, and we've had it 10 years. So she said, "You might look underneath the front right seat." I said, "Okay." So I go out with a little flashlight, garage or carport, and I look under, and front right seat, I notice there's this little bin or little storage compartment. I didn't know that was there. And I pushed it, and this thing came out, and inside, here's this nice little drawer, and it's got a first aid kit. I thought, "I didn't know this was here." So I ran into the house. I said, "Honey, do you know that there's a compartment underneath the seat?" She said, "No, no." I said, "No, it's got a first aid kit." She said, "No." "Really?" I said, "Yes." She said, "You know, when we first got that car, I read that it had a first aid kit." She said, "I looked everywhere. I could never find the first aid kit." And so we both ran out to the car, and we're looking at this little drawer. And Isn't it amazing what you can get excited at when you're 60 years? And my point was, we had had it all those years and didn't know the iPad had an ability to record and to look up. Oh, I'm having all kinds of fun with it. Yesterday, we wondered something, so I punch on there. Who makes the most money on the San Francisco Giants? Sure enough, it showed. The catcher, Posey. And then Pence is right after him. And so I've had all kinds of fun asking this thing questions. But my wife has really been more blessed knowing that we have a drawer underneath the front right seat of the Kia. All those years we had it and didn't know it. I'm still learning about, even though I've known God and you've known Him, some longer, some shorter, I'm still finding out things that God does and His greatness I was not aware of. I love it when I learn something new. I was watching some documentary and I got so excited. It was an owl, and this owl, when it has little, what do you call baby owls? Owlets? Baby owls. Well, when these little baby owls were in the nest gets, because the mother owl will go out and catch a mouse and bring it back, and because of that mouse not getting totally eaten, then the mouse dies and maggots started to appear in the nest. And so to solve that problem, here's the nest, and here's all these maggots and all the twigs and things underneath. Then the owl will go out, and it will catch it's not a worm and it's not a snake. It's somewhere in between. Now, normally it'll eat that thing, but it won't eat it this time. It'll grab that thing, bring it back to its nest, tell the little baby owls to back up, and that snake or worm will go and eat all the maggots, a vacuum cleaner. And I thought, who taught that owl how to do that? And I thought, God did. That is amazing how God in His creation, and you always love to discover new things. I did not know, but a caterpillar has 228 separate distinct muscles in its head. I didn't know that. We've heard about the elephant's trunk having hundreds of muscles, but and then I found out that the body, the pump of the heart, if it has the ability to squirt blood 30 feet if something's cut. I wouldn't recommend you try that, but I thought that was very interesting. But in the same way, when you received Christ, you received the Holy Spirit. And many people are not aware of some of the things that came with the Holy Spirit that when you receive Christ. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. And we're going to see some things that you may not be aware of that came with receiving Christ. You receive the Holy Spirit. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to, notice that word, every man to profit with all. That within every person here, the Holy Spirit has something for. We read in verse 11, but all these worketh at one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to, and here it is again, to every man severally as he will. I personally believe that when one comes to Christ, when you receive the Lord and the Holy Spirit's there, some believe it happens at the baptism. Some believe it's there and is waiting to come out at the baptism. But there are gifts within every child of God. And you may not be aware that God can use you in that area. We know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31, he's been talking about the Holy Spirit and about the amazing things the Holy Spirit does in believers that love Jesus. And he's talking about the nine gifts of the Spirit, and as we read, given to every man, and then severally as he will. The Holy Spirit has a will. That's why the Holy Spirit can be grieved. That's why the Holy Spirit can be quenched. But now as he wraps up these thoughts about the Holy Spirit, then he says in verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Now he's been talking about nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. But then he says something that I hope will hold your attention. And yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Or another way would be, yet I want to show you something more important. We know that we are to covet earnestly the best gifts, but now he's going to show us something more important, a more excellent way. He's been talking about one way of the Holy Spirit. Now I want to show you another way. They don't disagree, they complement. We're to covet earnestly the gifts, but what should be our response to this more excellent way, which is all explained in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians? He talks about love. In fact, if you want to humble yourself, if you would read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he starts off, I don't know if I picked that one to start off, I think we have 1 Corinthians verse 2, but he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, he's saying now, even though I have these gifts and they're operating, and he says, and I have faith that I could remove mountains, but I don't have love or charity, I'm nothing. Wow. Because those are amazing gifts. Those are amazing things that happen in the body of Christ. And he really says in chapter 13, if you don't have the nine gifts, let's say that you're not aware that you're being used in any of those gifts, it doesn't reduce you to nothing. But if you don't have love, now you're reduced to nothing. Those nine gifts the church has seen over the years and has been used over the years. But now he says, I want to show you something more important, a more excellent way. They're not in competition. They're not in disagreement. They complement one another. Concerning the gifts, I am to covet earnestly. I hope you do. I hope you covet earnestly the best gifts. They said, well, what's the best gift? And it's been said the ones needed at the time. But in concerning love, chapter 14, we are told we're to follow after. So we're to covet earnestly the best gifts. That's a desire, a strong desire of the heart. But love, which is a more excellent way, we are to follow after. Now, follow is active. Follow means you're putting the rubber to the road. Follow after charity. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1, and desire spiritual gifts. And the reason it uses that word and, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. God wants a spiritual church with gifts. But more important than that, he wants a church full of love. Both are necessary to advance the kingdom of God. You can build a church because of the gifts, but it could be torn down because of lacking love. I want to say that again. You can build a church with the gifts. It'll really draw the crowd. But then it could be torn down and not held together because lacking love. You can build a church on love better than anything else. But whenever you're so spiritual, you lack love, your gift means nothing. I heard something that I thought was worth writing down. When your fame is greater than your anointing, there is trouble. I preached a few weeks ago that you can have a right doctrine. You can believe everything correctly, but have a bad heart. And I mean a wrong spirit. You can believe everything that's accurate. You can dot every I and cross every T, and you know the everything down. But you don't have a right spirit, and it negates. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2, "And though I have all the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith," that sounds like somebody that knows their Bible. It's got their doctrine down. But he says, "But I don't have charity. I don't have love." You got a wrong spirit, a wrong disposition of the heart, lacks love. You're nothing. The gifts are to be coveted with strong desire, but love is to be followed after. Love cannot be dormant. Love must be put in action for it to meet the qualifications of the kind of love that God is expecting us to have. I want to say that love is something you do. Notice Jesus said in I hope I have it up there in John, where Jesus said in 13, John 13:35, and here is a scripture that often gets misquoted. People will say, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another." No, it's not love one for another. If it's love for one another, that's just a love that is there, but it's not doing anything. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one to another." To is active, for is just dormant, though perhaps being there. Love is something you do. Love to be the right kind of love is a love that is in action. It's not a dormant love. It's not a love that just is there, but it's a love that is active. We read in the scriptures, "For God so loved the world," but notice he got that love got in gear, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him would not perish but have everlasting life. And yes, the kind of love that God is wanting to see demonstrated in his people is a love that is in action, a love that is expressed. 1 John 3:18 says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Love must get active. By the way, I want to thank you. Your love was activated. We took a love offering last Sunday for Charlie, and he got some money. We call it a love offering, but sometimes I've seen what comes in, and it was just love. But when love is activated, and I appreciate your giving, and you've always been very charitable, thank you for that. A minister friend of mine was aware of a need of some people in his church, and somebody said, what could we do? And someone said, well, let's just love them. And he said, no, we need to do something more than just love them. And so they went out, and someone brought in some tomatoes from the garden, and this minister still felt it wasn't activated enough, so he took every tomato and he wrapped a $5 bill around each one of them. How many would like to be the recipient of that kind of love in action? 1 John 4:7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. 1 John 4:21, and this is the commandment that commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. But it's a love that is to be more than just something you're aware of. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love to activate it one another. She's not here today, but I'll say it anyway. I want to thank Sherry for having a baby shower for Luciana. That was love activated. That was love demonstrated, and thank the Lord for that. But it's putting love in gear. Tim put love in gear last week. I noticed him out of the corner of my eye, and he kept kind of working my way, and finally he said, Pastor. I said, yes. He reached out and hugged me and said, I want you to know I love you. I lived on that all week. Tim loves me. Tim loves me. Love in action. Love is always activated when it's the right kind. The Bible said that whom the Lord loveth, he chastens. That's active love. If you don't discipline your children, where's the love? I'm sure it's not a love they want. But 1 John 5:2 says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. He that says he loves God but doesn't activate it to where he keeps his commandment, no, that's not love. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. They're not hard to keep because we love him. When you do something for a loved one, it's not grievous. When you're giving to someone and you're maybe sacrificing, it's not grievous because you love them. 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Do you know how many songs are written about love? Song after song after song after song. All about love. But as much as I realized my iPad had some things I didn't know, and our car had something I didn't know. In fact, when I came into the, told my wife, she said, I'm shocked. And when she said, I'm shocked, how many can let one word trigger off something else in your brain? There's been this detective woman who always has this program. What's her name? Paula who? Paula's on, and she'll show some scene. She'll say, that's shocking. So my wife says, shocking. That's shocking. There's that crazy commercial where that guy, I don't even know what they're advertising. I've been watching too much TV. But this commercial comes on, and this guy, he's standing behind a meat counter, and I guess his number is called, and he says, "Woo! Woo! I'm going to get some cold cuts. I'm going to get some cold cuts." And then I got this other crazy commercial of these four young teenagers. I think they're making a scary movie. And she goes, "Why can't we get in the car?" Yeah. You've been watching the same thing. Shocking. I have no idea what I was doing talking about that. But love covers a multitude of ignorance. When you love somebody, it sure makes a difference. The next time you get ready to get really upset at someone, put the face of your child on that person and see if it doesn't maybe temper you just a bit. Because it's amazing how love changes perspective. And if God's no respecter of persons, neither should we be. And we're all different. Sister Nichols mentioned today, God has a way of arranging people in our lives. But when you read the Gospels, you see that there's these three guys that are always connected, Peter, James, and John. He taketh with him Peter, James, and John. And when you do a character analysis on these three guys, you find each one is different. John, we know, is the one that is that disciple whom Jesus loved. John speaks of the love of God in the epistle, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. God is love. He that saith he loved God and hateth his brother, how dwelleth the love of God in him? It is John who lays his head on the bosom of our Lord. He's the disciple of love. When you think of Simon Peter, you think of someone who is always just, go get him. He's the first out of the boat. He's the one that when they came to take Jesus away, he took his sword and cut off the man's ear. It is Peter who is quick to get a revelation of who Christ is. It is Peter who is first to run to the tomb. And then John said that disciple whom Jesus loved, he outran Peter. Well, John, who cares? But John probably got tired of Peter always happening to be first and thought, you know, he's always first. For once, I'm going to beat him. And he beat him to the tomb. But that's Peter. Peter is just always out there. Just, he's the kind of guy we would say he leaps before he looks. And then James. Here's the third character. James, when you read the book of James, he's very practical. He's the kind of deacon that knows where every penny went. And we need them, and very practical. James is the fellow that says faith without works is dead. And very practical. He's not known for spirituality. But can you see the three with their temperament? One day I can see Peter, after he cut the guy's ear off, I can see James going to John and saying, John, if that Peter doesn't get his spirituality under control. You know, it's good to be spiritual, but you know, some things you all need some wisdom about. You've been talking about wisdom that cometh from above. I have been, and he needs that wisdom, and here's John. And I could just see John saying, yeah, but you got to love him. And then you can see Peter going to John, and Peter saying, John, Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we've got some things to do. There's no sense of urgency in John. He's just kind of just plodding along. He's got to pray about everything. Well, you know, there's sometimes you got to step out in faith and you just got to get with it. And he's so earthly minded. He's no heavenly good. And practicality is good, but we got to have faith. We got to believe God. And John says, yeah, but you got to love him. And isn't it amazing how God put the three together? You need a John in your life. You need a Simon Peter in your life. You need a James in your life. And God knows how to bring different people into our life. Back to this love. Be careful when God, a doctrine that makes God do everything and you do nothing. Be careful of a doctrine that makes you do everything and God doing nothing. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, and you enter in with him beside you. When it comes to this matter of love, yes, there is a love that constrains us, that pulls us. But if you just expect that constraining love to do it all, and you not have the responsibility to love the Lord yourself as found in 1 Corinthians. Over the years earlier, whenever I would be flying off to do a meeting, I often, and I don't know where I picked this up, but I would ride in 727s, planes that Boeing built. And I learned that when we taxied up and we're all waiting for that plane, when that pilot pulls back and opens up the engine and gives them thrust, from the moment he does that and you're heading on down the runway, it takes approximately 20 seconds to get liftoff. I've been counting them for years. And I'd say to the person next to me, you know, it's going to take about 19, 20 seconds here. And they'd look at me like they were shocking. But if you get in a 747, a much bigger plane, I heard someone tell a story the other day, and he said how many seconds it takes to get liftoff. And I thought, wow, somebody else has been counting. And with it fully loaded, a 747 takes approximately 50 seconds to get liftoff. You have two laws that are taking place. Now, please open your Bibles to the book of Romans. In Romans, the 8th chapter, Paul is talking about a law. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Walking after the flesh in the context is referring to keeping the law. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. How many know we have God's law to keep? I have God's law to keep. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. There's that law that I'm to keep. And yet so often, I realize I fail. I just can't seem to do it in myself. When that airplane, whether it be a 727 or a 747, gets liftoff, what is holding that plane down is what we call gravity. That is a law. Then how does that plane fly? If gravity, that law, that is a very powerful, mighty law, it's always there. How is that law nullified? Another law comes into place. I don't understand aerodynamics, but with the engines and the thrust and the wind going over the plane, giving it liftoff, etc., that law is greater than the law of gravity. And it overrides the law of gravity, and thus the plane gets liftoff. Are you with me? And that is what Paul is telling us about here. That when you came to Christ, we're told to keep his law. Let's liken that to the law of gravity. But the law of gravity, or the law, Paul says, It was greater than me. I couldn't do it. I can't keep the law. I can't. But there's a greater law that is within me. Christ is in me, and it's because of Jesus and his love that he's talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. The love constraineth us. It's pulling us. It gives us liftoff. But if you just think because you have Jesus, and I know he gives me liftoff, but you don't have your part, you're going to have a little rough ride. And that's why we need to know our Bible, because in 1 Corinthians 12, it's our job to love him. Now, if there's a current that is flowing, a river flowing down. As a kid at 16, I remember riding these rapids. When the current was just pulling me, if I did nothing and I just let the current take me, it took me sometimes where I didn't want to go. But if I, in going with that current, did my part, it was the most wonderful ride going down those rapids. I want you to know that when you came to Christ, his Holy Spirit is in you, and his love constrains you. It pulls you. It helps you do what you cannot do. But you do have your part to love the Lord God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and that helps you stay in the middle of God's river. And so, yes, he keeps you. But on the same token, as he's keeping you, you love him back. We love him because he first loved us. And so, let's remember the need is spiritual. As I want to be, I covet earnestly the best gifts, desire, but my love has got to get into action and to follow and to put rubber to the road. And to Jesus talked about, if you love me, then keep my commandments. If you love me, if you see a brother in need, how dwelleth the love of God in you if you shut your bowels of compassion? Oh, folks, I want to encourage you to keep loving one another. Love one another. Love, love, love. Would you stand? His love constrains me, but my love keeps me in the middle of the stream. How many love the Lord today? Aren't you glad he loves you? And there, I realize that the law of sin and death, Paul said, is greater than me. I can't get lift off. Oh, but there's another law, a greater law, and it helps me to do what I can't do in myself. Father, we thank you this morning for your love that you have for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I thank you, Lord, there isn't a person here that you don't love. And you have placed your Son into their life and the Holy Spirit. And Lord, those gifts are there, and the Holy Spirit is things to be discovered we perhaps have not known that came when we received Christ. Help us to love you back. Help us to love one another. For God is love, and churches are built on love more than they're built by anything else. Help us with our spirituality, but never let us get so spiritual we're not basking in your love. Lord, bless your people. I'm going to open the altars this morning, invite you to come and find a place to pray and to love the Lord. Would you do that? Let him know you love him. His love will pull you up, and your love will keep you in the center of that river. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Wonderful Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we love you. We love you, Lord. We cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Bless the name of Jesus. Jesus.